You're listening to the AHDB podcast, farming news and stories from across the UK.
Hello and welcome to the Food and Farming podcast from AHDB. Thanks for listening. These days, food and farming are rarely far from the headlines, with some gaps on supermarket shelves due to supply chain issues, shortages of CO2, as well as fuel on the forecourts and the rocketing gas prices, the aftermath of Brexit. The list goes on. And all means the coverage continues, but so too do the stresses and strains on levy payers. I'm John Bates, and today I have the pleasure of talking to Tim Rycroft. Tim joined AHDB as chief executive at the end of August, and we thought now it would be a good time to get his thoughts and reaction to all that's going on around the agriculture sectors. Thanks for coming on the podcast again, Tim.
Hi, John. Great to be with you again.
Thanks. You've had your hand on the tiller for a few weeks now. How's it been?
Well, it's been a bit of a roller coaster ride, I have to be honest. There's an awful lot of things that need to be done, and there's an awful lot of things that I need to learn, and an awful lot of people that I need to meet. And I'm working hard to try and do all of those things. And actually, the first thing, probably the most important thing that I've been spending my time on is going out on farms. It's also actually one of the most enjoyable things I've been doing. And I was out actually yesterday and the day before on farms. And the thing that really strikes me is some of the things you talked about in your introduction, John, about just how tough it is for farmers right now. A lot of very immediate problems for the pork sector, input costs rising, energy, fertilizer, feed, a whole range of issues around supply chain and driver shortages. And then, of course, not only the immediate challenges, but the more medium and long-term things around sustainability with the spotlight being put on the sector as a result of COP26 and a lot of farmers trying to make those difficult trade-offs between the investment decisions they need to make right now in a time of rising costs, but also trying to plan for the future to make sure that they continue to be competitive. So huge amount of learning for me going out on farms. And, you know, it just reminds me that not only are all the sectors very different, but actually every farm is different, every farmer is different, and sometimes even every farmer's opinions are different depending on what's happening to them at that particular time. So trying to really understand the sentiment in the industry has been something I've put some time and effort into, and I'm going to continue to do that because it's really important that we should be in touch with what levy payers think about us. And I've been asking that question of all the farmers I meet, and I hear some very encouraging things. I hear a lot of support for the work we do. And of course, I also hear more critical things and things that we should be doing better, things that they would like us to do that we're not doing. And I'm kind of taking all that back with me, trying to sift through it, trying to make sense of the things that we can do and the things that will take a bit longer for us to do because, as everybody knows, this is an organisation that's been through a long period of turmoil, really, as a result of the ballots in horticulture and potatoes and the direct and indirect consequences of those. And it's forced us into quite a long period of introspection. We've been very inwardly focused as we've tried to work through what that means for us. And one of the things which is exciting for me is that we're now at the point where we can start to be more outward facing, more on the front foot, to use that metaphor, and out there talking more about what we're going to do, because our plan is clear, our direction of travel is clear. And for the organization, I think it comes as a significant relief to be able, in some way at least, to start to move forward again after some very difficult months. And I was able this week to start to talk about our plans for a vote in the spring of next year, April, where we'll be asking all our levy payers to rate the products, tools and services that we provide, to say how much of their levy they would like to see spent on those things, and to tell us what are the big issues facing their sector that they think we should be focused on. And in some ways, of course, that sounds quite simple, but it's quite revolutionary for us to be quite so transparent and accountable. But I think it's an absolutely necessary step given what's happened in the last year or two. And I hope, and certainly in my early conversations with levy payers, the message that we are committed to being open and accountable and transparent about how levy payers' money is spent, what it's spent on, and that they should have a really significant voice in making those choices going forward, that's a message that has been very well received. People really want to hear that. And they are, you know, they're not necessarily all the way there yet with us. They're going to need some more convincing. They're going to need to see meat on the bones. And I will definitely be delivering that. But for now, that overall message, I think, has gone down extremely well.
Now, obviously, you've referenced the fact that there's a reorganisation that was in hand before your arrival, and that probably could be summarised as a bit of a root and branch review of everything. Perhaps tell us a little bit about how that's going, though, because that is involving changes in the boardroom as much as it is changes amongst the staff.
That's right. I mean, there really isn't anything that we're not changing, to be honest, John. We're changing our structures, we're changing our processes, we're changing our ways of working, we're changing our governance, and we're changing our culture. And we're trying to do all of those things in quite a short period of time, which is putting quite a significant pressure on the organisation, I know. So to look at some of those things, actually just to go back a step, I think it's important to say that although, of course, the results of the horticulture and potato ballots have been a driver of that change, I think the change was required anyway. If you look at our levy payer satisfaction scores, if you look at the responses to DEFRA's request for views document, I don't think that we were properly commanding the kind of levels of trust and support from levy payers that our organisation really needs to have. So I think change was needed anyway. And we're trying to make the organisation leaner. We're trying to make it less top heavy. So we've taken out a number of senior roles. And all of, you know, when you talk about taking out roles, that's people losing jobs. And, you know, we shouldn't overlook the fact that it's been a very difficult process. It continues to be a difficult process. As I said to the staff, I myself have been made redundant 5 times in my career. So I really do understand the human impact when that happens to people. And it brings no one any joy to be involved in doing that. But the message to levy payers is that going forward, we will be a leaner organisation, more efficiently run. We've recently welcomed 5 new members to the AHDB board. I'm pleased to say that means for the first time, we've got a majority on the board who are levy payers, which seems to me entirely right. And we've got some new sector chairs among them, and they bring a range of capabilities and expertise, which I think we will really benefit from. And we had our first board meeting a couple of weeks ago with our new board members, and there was a really good spirit at that meeting. That we had some very meaty discussions. Everybody was expressing themselves with candor and with passion. And then we came to decisions and we agreed a way forward. And that's how good boards operate. And I was really encouraged to see that. And I know Nicholas Sapphire was too. So yes, new governance, new roles, certainly at the top of the organization as we start to change things. And I hope that people will see that the reorganisation of AHDB is in service of levy payers. We're trying to make it an organisation which very clearly exists in order to help them be successful. I've talked about AHDB as being a critical enabler for farming success, where farmers get to define success, not us. And I think that's a really powerful mission and motivating mission for us. It's one I'm determined to deliver. And we have got a lot of change going on at the moment to get us in that right direction. There's still hard yards ahead. We're not out of the tunnel, but we are, as I say, at least now facing outward a bit more and beginning to feel a bit more confident, I think, about what lies ahead.
And as chief executive, obviously, you're dealing with the here and now. There's lots of that going on. You've explained that you're talking to farmers and mixing amongst the staff. But also you've got to have an eye on the future. And you've talked about the products, tools and services. Just tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so this is about what are the things that we do in order to enable farming success. So if you look at some of the ones that I know command a lot of support, those would be things like exports, the work we do to open up new markets and to develop markets and to help potential exporters understand how to do that. There's work we do on things like dairy genetics. In cereals and oilseeds, the recommended list is seen as an absolute benchmark product in that world. And there's actually a whole range of things that we do, products, tools and services, over 30 of them. And what we're going to do is we're going to be very clear, as I say, as we go out to levy payers asking them to vote, what the potential cost is for their levy of backing those products and asking them to rate them. And, you know, as I said to the staff, it may be that levy payers will tell us some things we don't want to hear. We're very attached to the work we do. We're very proud of all the outputs from this organisation. But we're moving into a world where we have to accept that unless we can persuade levy payers that it's something they want to put their money behind, we shouldn't be doing it.
You've talked about the spring vote. Can you give us any details about how that's going to work and how levy payers play an active part in that?
Absolutely, yes. So quite soon we'll be opening up a registration portal. That'll be an online site where levy payers will be able to go. They'll be able to enter a very small number of details. It'll take a matter of moments to register themselves to vote. And then, as I say, the votes we expect to take place in April of next year. In the interim period between those two things, we're going to be stimulating the maximum possible debate, both among levy payers and the other stakeholders right across our sector, about this issue of what's the future of your sector, what's the future of farming, what's the role for AHDB to play in that. So you can expect to see us being very highly visible through the later part of this autumn and into next year as we start to encourage levy payers to register and to start to stimulate that debate among them that will enable them when the moment comes to cast their vote.
I think also one of the plans for the future is to have an annual general meeting. Is that right?
That's right. And that's all part of the accountability that I've talked about. So not only will the levy payers get to express their views through the voting process and through the debate that we stimulate, but their sector council, which will be the way in which their views are reflected back into AHDB, the sector council will organise an annual general meeting, again, to collect views as widely as possible to ensure that when they make the final decision about where to allocate the levy, which products, tools and services they want to fund, that that's a decision that commands the maximum possible support.
So the sector councils then, that replaces the sector boards and they dictate what AHDB do. Is that the theory?
So the way that we've described it is that we're dividing the what and the how. So what we're saying is that the levy payers and through their sector councils will get to decide what we do. We in AHDB will retain the decisions over how we do things. So how we deliver the things that levy payers have told us they value will still be for us to decide. And that will still take into account strategic issues, issues that go across sectors, all that kind of thing. But it will be the what we deliver will be in the hands of levy payers.
OK, and if listeners have got any questions that they want to ask about the vote process or just generally any questions that they want to ask about the future sort of tools and services and products that you've been talking about, they can. There's an email address.
shapeyourfuture@ahdb.org.uk.
Okay, thank you. We'll also put that email address in the show notes that accompany this. Tim, let's just talk. You've talked about people that are leaving the business. Let's talk about the people that are sort of staying with the business. You've flattened the structures. It's become leaner. How is the staff morale? What's the reaction to what's been going on?
Well, as I said earlier, John, it's been a long period of very difficult circumstances for the staff, and I wouldn't be being honest if I said that anything other than that staff morale is very fragile. It's been very difficult. The organisation has shrunk. People have been under the uncertainty of consultation about redundancy, and then in some cases those redundancies have been confirmed, and all of that is very difficult. And at the same time, people have been worried or uncertain about the future. What does this mean for the organisation going forward? What kind of organisation will we be? How do we envisage us the future AHDB after the result of the horticulture and potatoes ballots? And it's taken us time to work all that out. And as I say, we've been in this period of introspection, of being very inwardly focused, while we've tried to come up with the very best answers we can to the right way to respond, not only to the ballots in horticulture and potatoes, but to some of those challenges are around agriculture that I talked about at the beginning, which mean, we can't afford not to be out there serving levy payers, helping them to cope with some of these challenges. So morale is definitely fragile. I'm doing my best, and I know my senior team are too, to start to help people to see that we do have a vision for the future of AHDB. We do understand what we're here for. We can absolutely picture this organisation as a growing, thriving, outward-looking, energetic, fast-moving organisation. And that does require a bit of culture change, and we're trying to do that as well, and to encourage people to be able to move more quickly, to try and cut through some of the layers of bureaucracy that has sometimes held us back. And I hope, as I go around the business talking to teams, I hope that that is a motivating and energising thing for them to start to picture this organisation not only getting back on its feet, but actually running forward, supporting farmers.
Great, Tim. Thank you very much indeed for sparing the time to come on the podcast. Hopefully you'll come back and join us another day.
Anytime.
Okay, so if you've got any comments about this podcast or ideas for future episodes, get in touch. You can email me, john.bates@ahdb.org.uk. Thanks to podcast producer Gemma Pammant. Stay safe, stay well. I'm John Bates. Thanks for listening.